You're listening to the Wait, What If podcast. Be prepared to expand your mind and question your reality. As always, your host, Kevin Sullivan.
My new announcer from Great Britain. If you guys were listening last week, we had a psychic on, Miss Sherry Lassiter. And then what we were going to do originally is I was going to have folks come on the show and like share ghost stories and stuff, because we're trying to keep it into that Halloween sort of thing. I wanted this month to be like the paranormal month, even though I don't remember when it was, September, or maybe it was even end of August, we had the ghost hunter on. But I don't know, that's basically it.
Not supposed to say ghost hunter, remember?
Right. I know, that's right. Talk close to you. So it has to be awkward when you're talking to the microphone.
Do I have to touch it with my lips?
No, because I'm afraid you're going to smell all the food that the other guests have been eating.
Brownies.
They actually, in like the radio, they have stuff that they spray the mic with, so everyone's bad breath comes off.
Maybe we'll Lysol it from now on.
Nah, it's the flavor of the Wait, What If podcast. You sit down, you smell some whiskey and some food.
Gross. Whiskey is right.
Some halitosis. There's actually no whiskey being drunken. Cara's saying drunken.
Is it drunken?
Drink.
No, if there is no whiskey being consumed, drunk, it would be drunk.
Drink.
There's no whiskey being.
Well, you got to do the drunk. The tense.
Yep, it's drunk
of the verb.
Riveting information here. If you can tell by the voices tonight, we have Bobby Manning Mincer. I got it all messed up last time, but this time
what? You can just call me Bobby.
Bobby,
thank you.
You don't want people to know who you are. Should I edit that out?
I'm incognito.
All right. You're on the website. Your name's right there in plain daily.
Did you spell it right this
time?
Yeah,
it's not Bob.
Bob and, with two Bs.
And it's B-O-B-B-I.
Yeah, I spelled that, okay. Didn't I? Yeah. Oh, no, I spelled
no,
B-O-B-B.
No, I completely.
I spelled conversation with a P, C-P, I, whatever.
It's okay.
It looks good. Have you been to the website?
Yes.
Oh, actually,
that's
yeah.
I found a mistake.
You were the one who signed up for the newsletter that doesn't exist. I have a little thing to sign up.
Get on
maybe
it.
At some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a point for the website, because everyone either goes to iTunes.
It just looks professional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it does. So if I have a guest come on, they can, you know, look, make sure I'm not a serial killer. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And with us also is Dr. Cara Constantine Sullivan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I don't get a title. That's okay.
Mrs.
is a good title.
That's right.
I don't either. I do. I get captain. I'm a retired captain,
well,
so you can call
it.
Me captain.
Captain, and I think I need a better title. Captain Antonio.
All right. So,
piano.
So what we're going to do is I figure tonight, you know what, Cara, you shut this window, but look outside.
Oh, yeah.
Look outside. Look out on the balcony.
A little scary.
Oh, I saw that walking over here.
So maybe there's a mummy in the house next door. We're going to tell ghost stories. Actually, what we're going to do is you're going to convince me that ghosts are real.
Oh, God.
I think we can do that with our stories.
I think it's impossible. I am so... When I was a kid, I completely believed in ghosts, because I grew up in a really superstitious household. My grandmother, who is older than dirt, even when she was young, she was old. You ever see those people that like you look
like
at
our
pictures?
Teachers back mm-hmm. in the
that's
day.
That's right.
Our
yeah.
teachers were all old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't. When I met you and all your teacher friends would go out to parties, which they didn't do. We won't say what district they were from.
Right.
But they were all like young, hip girls. And I'm like, what? Mine were all like the crypt keeper. Remember on Tales of the Crypt?
Super old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were like witches.
Mm-hmm. So my grandmother, you look at pictures of like 1940 and she looks old. So she was always old. Very, very superstitious. She thought, and we talked about this on one of my shows, they called it the Joeys. I don't know what that is. I have no idea, but apparently it's, they say it's an Irish name for ghosts, the Joeys. For my international listeners, drop me an email. Let me know what the heck it means. Because, yeah, she always thought the Joeys were everywhere. And that was her way of saying that they're... And everyone. I mean, they, her brothers who died before her, her parents. She was always just talking about how they're walking around.
Were and they scary?
Like it was really scary. Joeys,
or were they nice ghosts?
They were nice ghosts. She she always claimed she wasn't afraid of them. But she would tell me, you know, here I am, like 6 years old, and she would be... She lived with us. She lived in an in-law house.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid. No, Joey.
I was terrified because she'd be like, she smoked heavily. And she was like, I was late last night. The Joeys were floating around. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what are you telling me? I go to bed at night and one eye open. My bed, we grew up in New Hampshire, and New Hampshire is like the epicenter, or at least New England, of scariness in. In Salem. The world. Yeah, mm-hmm. Salem was right down the road.
All those old houses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my bed was right next to the window that overlooked the woods, the forest. Oh, no. And so I'd go to bed, and I'd have to put pillows over my head and pull the blankets up over my head because I was just terrified all the time. Mm-hmm. And then my cousins lived in a, and they claimed that this house was haunted. They lived in a house in Woburn, Mass, right outside of Boston. And I don't know the whole story of it, but they said the ghost was Mr. Pearson. And we'd be sitting downstairs, and I remember this as a kid. There's two weird things I remember as a kid. And again, I as an adult, I look back on it as whatever, house settling, or that I was, I don't know, I was just a kid. Everything, you know, everything's real when you're
active
a kid.
Imagination. Mm-hmm.
So we would be downstairs, and you'd hear walking upstairs. And then I would always say, who's up there? And they'd be like, oh, that's Mr. Pearson. I'm like, what? Come on. Apparently he died in the house. I mean, but, and they took me. This house was 1700s. It was built. And I was the youngest. It was my sister and my two cousins and myself. And they were all like 4 years older than me. And they took me. The basement was like, it was like Psycho Killer basement. There was a single light bulb that would like swing in the middle, and dirt floors and rock walls. So this house
stairs,
was
what's like that space under the stairs?
Oh yeah. Ooh, oh yeah,
you can see a space.
You.
Mm-hmm. Grab your ankles. Mm-hmm.
And in the back of the house, I'm going on a quick tangent here, in the back of the house there was a well that was hundreds of years old, but it was covered by, who knows, you know, 100 years ago, and one of them almost fell into it. The wood finally gave way when my cousin was out there playing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and then they have pictures of it. Did I show you the news article at home? Yeah.
No,
so
I want to see that.
Just old house. Scary. They used to take me and lock me in the basement.
Oh my god.
Terrifying. Yeah, how terrifying. Horrible. Mr. Pearson and a golden, like that golden non-bright single.
Yeah. That's it was creepy.
Terrifying.
Super scary.
And we used to spend
get them back.
We used to spend the night there. Mm-hmm. I did. I got
in
them
the
back.
Basement?
No. I'd spend the night at the house and
okay.
In the basement.
Gosh.
And I have this one memory. This one memory. Well, there's two. One's funny and one I think is kind of interesting. They had like, it was a Victorian house, and the bathroom on the first floor was like, it was, the room was about this big. So what is this? Maybe 15 feet by 20 feet. It's a pretty big room. It was a giant room with the toilet like in the middle of it. And there was like old mirrors and old, you know, the old, Victorian bathtubs with the mm-hmm. feet.
The claw feet.
Yeah. And I remember like as a kid, and then there was an old window with the slats on it. What are those? Those, they're on the inside. They kind of open like this. What do they call those?
The plantation shutters?
Yeah, like little old plantation shutters, but the top didn't have it. It was just the bottom. Okay. And so I'd have to go to the bathroom, and I'd go in there and shut the door, and you're sitting there in the middle of this room, and there's a there's the window, and you can see outside, and it was just creepy. I used to always be creeped out, even going to the bathroom in that house. I hope they listen to this podcast, because
I know you got to get them back.
Mm-hmm. They'd be laughing.
Sounds like somebody's a bit traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why I grew up with that sort of family. My grandmother, and then of course my mom and sister were all about it, and everyone. So I grew up scared shitless of mm-hmm. ghosts and all that stuff. The other story I was going to say was I remember specifically being a child, and I feel like my dad had stopped at their house. They must have been somewhere, maybe on vacation, and he was running the water or something. And I remember going in, and it was an old, you know, those big sinks, those big basin sinks mm-hmm. that come down, and they didn't even have cupboards. It was like old school. There was like curtains underneath it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember staying there, and they had a mirror up on top. And in hindsight, I remember seeing a reflection of a guy in like...
Ooh.
Yeah, and like a colonial mm-hmm. dress, but in my head I was like, oh, that was just like a picture on the like I felt like reflection. It was just a picture. Yeah, you ever see those mirrors mm-hmm. like they have a bars that have pictures on it, mm-hmm. and I feel like that was it. But I remember specifically seeing this like.
Oh, that's
powdered
creepy.
Face. Yeah. And it was, I was probably, like I said, 6 years old, 5 years old. So I don't mm-hmm. remember too much about it and, or even being freaked out. But when I remember it in hindsight, I remember specifically seeing that and taking note of a face looking back there.
Hmm. Well, mirrors are scary. Mirrors.
Yeah, they are.
In general. I mean, do you remember, what was it? Bloody Mary back?
Oh my God.
Back in the day. And then I remember seeing a commercial on TV for something like that, and the kids were talking about it in school, and I was probably 9 or 10, and I don't think I slept for 2 weeks straight mm-hmm. because I was so terrified of
Bloody
the mirrors.
Mary.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, in my head, what if I say it in my head by accident? Mm-hmm. And then
how many times you have to say it?
You just think about it, and even
like three times
now
or something?
As an adult. Mm-hmm. It's still creepy as an adult.
I hear you.
Yeah, when you get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and there's the mirror, and mm-hmm. I don't look in it.
Hollywood has a little bit around. To blame to that too.
Yeah,
though, they always mm-hmm. do the.
But it's creepy, and I don't want to find out if it's true.
Right, right. Mm-mm.
They bend down to spit out their toothpaste, and then they come up, and it's always
and
there.
Somebody standing there in the mirror. Yeah,
yeah.
That is scary. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
That's bad dream fodder right there.
Now, why do you think as a society we like? And let me preface everything I just said with the fact that nowadays I realize, looking back, that it was nothing. I was just a scared child. Nowadays, I would go sleep in that house, no problem. I mean, still, you can never get rid of that underlying. Like, you touch a stove, it's hot, right? Mm-hmm. So that stuff scared me, and I guess in a way, quote, traumatized mm-hmm. me. So I'm still freaked out. Yeah, like the mirror and stuff. Mm-hmm. But at what point? I just don't think it's. I don't know. If it's real. I mean, I don't. I just don't.
I think you're full of baloney.
There's no. Here's the thing. How come in the day of cell phone videos and cameras mm-hmm. and everything that's going on, we don't have just evidence? I mean, we have evidence of everything. We don't see have evidence, photographic evidence or video evidence of ghosts, of Bigfoot, of UFO. We don't have any of that. We have these things that end up being hoaxes or unexplained phenomena. But mm-hmm. when you look at it, you're like, God, it's just dust flying across the
Well, yeah, but I mean, screen. You know, you can't say that it doesn't exist just because you haven't seen proof.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
And plus,
yes, you can. That's the basis of science.
But there's some
you don't prove what doesn't exist.
But
it's the burden of proof isn't on me; it's on you. Go ahead. Sorry.
There's some things that are there. I mean, there are some pictures that show some weird stuff.
Yeah.
That
yeah, but it's
explained.
A camera. It's a piece of equipment. Okay, get
but
anomalies.
Is it?
Yeah,
because it might not be.
So, what do you chalk up personal experience to then? What to somebody who's mm-hmm. completely sane? Who has had, you know, run-ins mm-hmm. with loved ones that have passed or strangers that have passed? I mean,
ghosts.
What do you, how, yeah, ghost, how mm-hmm. can you, I don't really like to think of them as ghosts, though. I think of them as, you know, because I think ghost has that negative sort of feeling. And my experience with those who have gone before me has been very positive, with the exception of, you know, sort of a scary thing in my 20s, but I wasn't asleep. I wasn't dreaming. I had a full-on conversation with my grandfather, mm-hmm. you know, well, and my grandmother was there. We were both awake staring at him while he talked to us.
Well, so I think the people who have the experiences, mm-hmm. I think it's very real, mm-hmm. but it's because it's... That organ between your ears is extremely powerful.
No.
It tells you your reality. It absolutely, your reality only exists with your brain. You don't have a brain, there's no reality because you have no consciousness.
Okay. But, Mr. Skeptic, mm-hmm. how it's not mass hypnosis, or weren't my grandmother and I weren't both seeing or, you know, on drugs together or dreaming the same dream.
Would you like to share this story?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear the story.
Let me tell you a story. Okay. Well, first of all, like I said, my experiences have been fairly positive. And the first time that I ever encountered a spirit I think of him as my angel. But anyway, my grandfather passed away in 1980 from black lung. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a disease that, you know, basically it causes
coal miners.
Coal miners disease, right? It's from the dust, the coal dust. And so he ended up, you don't die from black lung, you die from complications of black lung. So he ended up passing from a major heart attack just before he was supposed to come home. Anyway, the mines had something, they basically gave compensation when that occurred. If there was a death that was ruled, you know, this is what caused it, blah, blah, blah. And they pay out benefits to the spouse or the survivors. And my grandfather had been passed, he had been gone for about 8 months, I guess. And my grandma had moved in with us. We had built on a room for her, and I slept with her every night because she'd cry every night. And I think I was probably right around 10 years old. My grandma, during that 8 months, she was receiving survivor's benefits. And then they abruptly stopped. And the mine was insisting on exhuming my grandfather's body. Because they were fighting the benefits and didn't want to continue to pay for them. Well, of course, that was quite traumatic for our family. My grandma was quite upset, and she literally cried herself to sleep every night. But about a week before the final court hearing, which was just a little over a year after my grandfather had passed, we were in her room, in her bed. She was crying. And I was awake comforting her, and all of a sudden my grandfather was standing at the foot of the bed, and it wasn't like there was a light. There was no light. He was just him. He looked just like he did when he was alive.
So it was dark?
It wasn't, actually. There was a nightlight or a bedside lamp on.
Okay.
And he was standing there, and you know, we both sort of got up on an elbow and looked at him, and he reached out and put his hand on my grandma's foot and said, "Mama, don't worry, everything's gonna be okay." And we were both sort of stunned into silence because he always called her mama. And then he was gone. It was like he just sort of evaporated, kind of like a mist going away. It wasn't like he blinked in or blinked out. It was kind of like he just sort of evaporated, just sort of went away. About a week later, when the final court hearing went through, they actually dropped, the court ruled in favor of my grandma, so she was able to continue to receiving the survivor's benefits, and so that was a good thing. It was like a, you know, he sort of, obviously he knew that she needed to hear that, you know, and we both heard it, and we both talked about it. And we talked about it until she passed in, you know, 1999. It wasn't something that happened when I was 10 years old that we both just sort of decided, oh, we're never going to talk about that because that was freaky. We talked about it. And we talked about it when I was an adult. So it was very real. I mean, you know, I don't doubt that for a second that happened. I have a very, very vivid memory of it.
Yeah.
So that's why I hesitate. I mean, I understand the skepticism. I certainly do, especially if you've never had a true experience or what you would consider to be a true experience. But that was pretty, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to pick that apart because I mean, that's not a nice thing to do. But we don't know what happens to us after we die. We don't.
You're right.
We don't know where we go. We can pretend, and a lot of people think they know, but we don't know what happens after you go to the other side. And what, or is there another side, or what happens? What is the manifestation of who people used to be? Is it a ghost? Do you go from this dimension to the other dimension? Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about on this podcast once that if you took someone that lives on a sheet of paper, So they live in a two-dimensional world. All they can see is what's on that paper. They can't see anything else. Anything up above it, holding this pen above the paper, they, there's no concept of its existence because there's just no concept of three dimensions. And that could be just what we're living in right now. In our I don't know what dimension. We live in 3D, but the fourth is time. So in our existence, our senses can only give us those. And then perhaps there's just another dimension that we just don't I mean, I think there is, but we just don't understand it. We don't.
Well, my thought on that whole thing is, like I said, you know, I've had several experiences, and we can talk about the other ones later. But my thought first and foremost, I don't necessarily believe that we are a sum of our experience. I think that you know, we are who we are because of our soul, and you can you know guess at whatever you think the soul is, whether you think it's a you know your consciousness, or you think it's your some of it, of your experiences, or if you think it's the energy that you know enables you to walk around, basically, that makes you.
So what do you mean by that? We're not the sum of our experiences. You mean there's more than...
I think that there's more than just the sum of our experience. I think that you know, when we come into this world, we are an individual. And yes, we become the sum of our experience, but I think we start out as an individual, as well as a soul, as an energy. And I think that when we pass away, whether you think about heaven or hell or whatever it may be, or whether you linger on or whatnot, I think that it's a release of that energy that I would consider to be a soul. That's what makes us. And you know, the physical body is no longer there, but the energy goes somewhere, because energy is infinite. You know, it just whether it's floating around just sort of a floating consciousness, or it's the feeling. I really don't.
Paul, you know, Paul said that because we were talking about free will, and are we the sum of our experiences? Is there a ghost in the machine? There's determinism. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other schools of thought on on what we are, what our experiences are, what our persona is, and whether we have a choice of what we can do tomorrow and everything. And he was saying that folks in my category, where I say we are the sum of our experiences, we are set into motion from the Big Bang, and everything happens from that point on. He didn't say it was sad, but he said it seemed to lack the spark, I think is what I was getting at. But to me, if the very atoms that make up my hand that's moving right now, and the very energy that is fueling my brain, that's fueling my body to make it 98.6 degrees, that energy came from the Big Bang. That energy came from distant stars. That energy came from the sun. I mean, it came down and it fed the plants, which fed the buffalo. We had buffalo meat tonight.
Ooh,
fed the buffalo.
Really good too.
Yum. Did you have bison burgers?
No, we had bison stew.
Okay.
We've had the burgers though. They're delicious.
Yummy. I used to have those in Wyoming all the time.
It was sitting out there just eating our grass, and eventually
it was time.
Yeah,
had time to shoot them. Time to do them with the buffalo.
We threw the carcass behind your house.
Dang it.
It might be a little stinky. Sorry.
Great.
So everything is interconnected, and it absolutely is. I mean, it's that's a fact, because we know it is.
Oh, I believe that.
And when I die, I don't just disappear. All the energy and all the atoms, and who knows and how long, is going to become something else. I mean, we are, it was what's his name, not Dawkins, Carl Sagan, that said we are all star stuff. And that's kind of a neat thing to think about, that everything that makes up our hair and our eyes and our face, it's the crucible of creation.
But you're just talking about the physical part. You're not talking about what truly makes us, like what makes us love, what makes us
people.
Well, we love because it's good for the unit.
Right, I understand that. But that feeling of love.
Yeah, it's chemical processes.
No. That's where I differ than you. And I used to be somewhat skeptical.
Say there's no love. Say there's no love in the world. Then there's no bond. There's no human bond. There's no reproduction.
But there's still nurturing. Fear. There's still...
Well, I guess, say there's no feelings whatsoever. I was just using love as
okay.
Then
you're not a person.
Right.
Yeah, that's what separates us from animals.
That's what keeps soul us and, from being a slug.
Elephants stay together.
Right. But do slugs? I mean,
I don't know much about slugs.
Well, I mean, you're sort of comparing apples to oranges. I mean, in the sense that
I would be comparing apples to oranges if I was to say, basically, just sitting there comparing a human mm-hmm. physiologically to a elephant mm-hmm. in certain ways. But if I want to just say in cellular respiration, mm-hmm. in the familial unit that elephants have, mm-hmm. that humans have, and the need for propagation and for extending your species, mm-hmm. The basic desires for nurturing and everything, I'm comparing apples and apples right there.
Okay. Well, what about when you have someone, like you said, if you take feelings out of the equation, a sociopath, do you think that then, that they're acting only on what their body's telling them to do, that they don't have this sort of inner need to fulfill, that they...
That's exactly right, yeah.
I mean, they do, but they...
They have the basic needs, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I understand the whole brain thing.
I understand what you're saying. What is you?
Right. What is you?
The reason why I it sounds depressing, and it really isn't, because mm-hmm. I mean I also have. Am I open to other ideas? Absolutely. I'm mm-hmm. open to the idea of. I don't pretend to know the answer. I'm mm-hmm. just saying this is kind of where I am right now. Mm-hmm. What were we just talking about?
But if you're open to the idea of the possibility, like mm-hmm. the possibility, mm-hmm. you can still be a skeptic. Mm-hmm. But if you were to have that personal experience, would you push it off and say, "Oh, that didn't just happen," because you feel this need to sort of stick with your belief system that you don't, because you're scientific minded? Is that what you would just sort of push it off and say, "Oh no, that didn't just happen. There's a mm-hmm. breeze blowing in and it shut the window."
Yeah.
Okay, somebody's got a projector and they just projected that man over there walking mm-mm. through the hallway. I mean,
no, your mind controls your
But what if it's not just you that sees it?
Right. And that's why I said, that's why I said, we don't know where we go mm-hmm. beyond this. And is it a way that your grandfather or whatever he became after he passed on had a way to reach out and talk to you guys? I mean, maybe that's what I'm saying. I don't say that didn't happen. I don't say, I don't believe it. I'm just mm-hmm. saying, I don't know. I'm saying I don't know what it is. I don't know what these experiences are, but they're mm-hmm. common mm-hmm. and people have been experiencing them since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the cavemen did. I don't know. I think they might've been more like our monkey counterparts.
Yeah,
but
I'm not sure.
Well, I think the thing about ghosts is, or spirits, is that people want to believe that it's their loved ones. And I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. And I want to know that people who I've loved are on the other side and they're trying to communicate with me. And I want to know that if I see something, fly across the room, that it's something that good. Is personal to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think most people, I don't know about most people, but a lot of people mm-hmm. would think the same way. Mm-hmm. We want to believe that when you die, you go to heaven and good things happen, and mm-hmm. that person is still thinking of us and that they're okay. And mm-hmm. so I want to know that that's what's going on the other side. Right. So I'm going to look for things. Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to look for things to argue in favor of your hypotheses, then mm-hmm. you're going to be biased into saying, oh, I walked out of this room and that door was closed. Now it's open. Therefore ghost.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it could be. That's true.
I mean, you want to feel it.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that because then I feel good.
Right, exactly. If it makes you feel better, is it such a bad thing?
No, that's fine. It doesn't make it real. I mean, I would really, really want mm-hmm. there to be a diamond in our backyard the size of a football.
Me too.
And I would, if I believe it's there.
It better be in my yard, half and half.
Your side.
Yeah, my side of the
Would it make
line.
Me feel good that it's there? Sure. Mm-hmm. Do I have any proof that it's there? No. If you saw me out there digging with the shovel looking for it, you'd say, what are you doing?
Yeah, do you know that it's not there?
No, but I feel like it's there and it helps my day out knowing that when I'm old, I'm
right. And you're in a good mood and you're happy. Hey, mm-hmm. think about that diamond.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They call that delusional.
No. Okay, so here's another quick little story that I it's another one. It has to do with my grandmother this time. And, Okay, here's the story. My grandmother had a stroke in 93, and she passed in 99. But during the time towards the end of her life, I wasn't able to go back and visit her in Wyoming. And she would send me these little trinkets from her nursing home. Like, you know, they'd go down to the little gift shop and whatnot. And she sent me this pound puppy. No,
I remember those.
I'm dating myself. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I had this pound puppy, and I kept it because my grandma and I were very, 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 very close. But it used to drive me insane because it had batteries. You know, you put your batteries in it, and it was like motion sensored or whatever, and you'd clap your hands or you'd move near it, and it would whine and it would bark and it would sniff and pant and whatever. So I had taken the batteries out years, probably 3 years, the batteries had been out. But the morning that my grandmother passed away, literally 30 seconds before the phone rang that my family called me to tell me that she had passed, this pound puppy that was sitting on the end of my bed started whimpering and whining and barking. No batteries, mind you.
Whoa.
And I looked at it and freaked out. And right about that time, the phone rang and my mom told me my grandmother had just passed away. And I truly feel that that was her way of, like, maybe she just sort of moved past me. Her energy. I'm really not sure, but I think that it was her way of letting me know, because, you know, she sort of hung on because I was trying to get there and I couldn't get home, unfortunately, before she passed away. But I almost think it was her way of just letting me know it was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that she just sort of stopped by and said, hey, you know, I love you, or whatever message she was sending with the pound puppy.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't there more definitive? Like, why wouldn't someone from the other side come and wake you up and say, okay, here's what is going on over mm-hmm. here?
I don't think they want to interfere.
But wouldn't they want to let us know?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they're as concerned with what's going on here I think that Sherry touched on it a little bit in that, You know,
the psychic from last week.
Right. Yeah, that you know, they're not always hanging out, just sort of watching what's going on. I think that, they pop in when we truly need them, when we truly need, you know, a positive reinforcement or a reinforcement of the hope that there is, you know, something past whatever experience we're experiencing at that time, if it's a bad experience or if we're, you know, just needing to see the good in something. You know, I think that's the way that we're still connected to them. So that's another experience with me that was very, like, how can you explain this toy that requires mm-hmm. batteries just popping off all by itself, literally the moment that my grandma passed away, and it was something that she had given me that was from her. Mr. Skeptic.
I can't. Did it happen, or did you think you saw it happen?
That's no. It was going. And mm-hmm. and it wasn't just me that saw it. My boyfriend at the time was there. Mm-hmm. And we were both trying to figure out, because I panicked when it started going off, because I thought, oh my God, there's a dog outside that's, you know, something, because I was in the other room. Mm-hmm. And we both went into the bedroom. It was sitting on the end of the bed, and it was just going like somebody had just shook it. Mm-hmm. You know, because they were sensitive. It, like, the you know, they any noise or movement or whatever would sort of make it go. Mm-hmm. And then the phone rang. Hmm. So, wow. And while I was on the phone, he was looking at it, and we double checked after I got off the phone, and I was bawling, and I was like, what the heck? And, you know, there were still no batteries in it. We opened it up. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like some little fairy jumped in there and put batteries in it in the night. You know, it was just going. That's
crazy. I don't have an answer.
Yeah. I still have that, by the way.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Good. Keep it.
I would keep that, too. Yeah.
I do. But, you know, so I think that I don't know. I want that hope. That's why I don't want to choose a side.
You can hear the dog snoring again in the background.
I don't want to choose a side. I do believe that there are people out there that take advantage, that are full of BS, mm-hmm. that, you know, capitalize on the sensationalism that you get from all these TV shows and blah, blah, blah. But I also believe that there's got to be something else. Mm-hmm. There just does.
I don't, like I said, though, when someone's a skeptic, they don't, they think that, or people think that, no, this is where I stand. Nothing is real, blah, blah, blah. No. It's that the burden of proof isn't on me to prove it's not there. And I need to see it first. And even if I do see it, I need it to be, I will investigate it very thoroughly before I say, okay, something like that happened. I mean, like you sent me that, that clip or that news article about the miracle in Argentina. Sorry, Victoria. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the simplest thing for that is someone put it there.
Which one was this?
It was a communion wafer that had turned into heart muscle or something like that.
Yeah, in the Catholic Mass, when the priest...
It's got a name.
The communion.
Like, yeah, but when it turns into a
body... Yeah, he changes the host from just a plain wafer to the actual body and blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then the congregation accepts the host. And apparently, at the end of the Mass, a lady saw one of the hosts over in one area of the church.
It was like next to a candle.
Yeah. So she brought the priest over and said, this was here. I haven't touched it. I don't want to touch it because I don't know if it's been blessed or.
It's desecration. You're not supposed to touch it or do anything like that.
And so it had, but if it, before it's blessed, you can touch it. But after it's been blessed, you can't. So,
you got me.
Yeah. Cause so before priest, it's just a piece of bread.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the priest took it and, did a bunch of tests on it, like sent it.
Well, they put it into a chalice and then
for
put
a
it
long
away.
Time, right?
Yeah, and then it.
And then one of the cardinals or some
turned bloody.
Some other higher, yeah, ew. Took it out and it turned bloody, and they sent it off to some labs, and it had actual human heart tissue growing on it, which would make sense because it's the body and blood of Christ.
Well. But yeah, but I mean, the lady's got
to
put it.
So they found a wafer by a candle?
Yeah.
That somebody didn't eat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I guess that's what.
Okay.
Hey, you can look it up. It's called the, if you just look up Argentinian communion miracle, I'll put a link on the website, waitwhatif.com. Mm-hmm.
It's all credible. I mean, we're talking about priests and. Mm-hmm. Bishops and cardinals, and these are very.
If it was that credible, people. Then the whole world would have just converted to Christianity,
right?
Don't you think they would have been like, "Oh my gosh!"
No, it's... because everybody thinks that their religion's right. So, mm-hmm.
right. Well, like me, I don't. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I have no idea about the Catholic, you know, with the communion and all that. So I would just be sitting there going, "Yeah, I don't know what that means."
it's a Catholic
you
thing.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that, and mm-hmm. I don't know
so
why.
So how do you explain that? I mean, how do you...
I mean, like I said, someone put it there.
Yeah. Right, so somebody put human heart cells on a host and...
Maybe. What they said is, in the article, was that this is human heart cells. Now, I'd have to see, you know, why they said that. Because you can't take, in science, you can't take something and say, this is definitive 100%. I mean, I guess they can look at the DNA and say, this is human DNA. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's what they did.
They can look at the cellular structure of it and say, okay, this is myocardium, meaning this is muscle of the heart. Mm-hmm. Okay, they can do that. All right, and I guess, yeah, they can put those two together and say, or was it blood mixed with a pig's heart? I don't know if they can do that. Did they take the DNA? Did they extract it out of one of the actual myocardial cells? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then what was there? Did they say 100% this was a human heart that turned from a wafer? I mean, no one said that. They just said the stuff that we had that we looked at mm-hmm. was a human heart. I mean,
right.
It could be a hoax. I mean, it could be the idea of having proof that a wafer turns into the body and blood of Christ, it would be an astronomical thing to have. So to be able to prove your I want to say electorate, but it's not, to prove to either your skeptics or to your own congregation would be. Yeah.
But if you're Catholic, that's what you believe.
Yeah, you're supposed to believe that.
Yeah. So whether they test it and it comes out
yeah, so
positive,
what's the point
so,
for
yeah.
the Catholics?
Right.
It's just further proof that it's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't call it proof. I would say this is something that people believe
buy
to be
into.
True. Yeah. Scientific process. The scientific method is extremely fine-tuned.
Not everything is the scientific method.
It is. How can everything not be the scientific method?
You can still have faith.
Yep.
No, faith alone means you're believing something on poor evidence or lack of evidence completely.
Mm-hmm. Which is why it's faith, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the point of that? I want to know. Like, if you tell me
that... The point is it makes you feel better.
We argue about this all the time, Bobby. We do. Yeah. We talk about this all the time.
This is a conversation my husband and I have as well.
And we're never going to resolve it. You're mm-hmm. never going to believe what I believe, and I won't believe what you believe.
Yeah, but how can you not believe... So, I don't not believe. Does that make sense? I don't. I sit there and I weigh the proof that's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it and I say, okay, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I didn't do that, if I said to myself, do you know what? No, let's take away the proof. Let's take away all this doubt I have in my head and just go with it. Well, that's false. That's not who I am. That's not how my brain. And if there is a God, then he has designed me this way. And mm-hmm. then it's no fault of my own. Would he rather a person in heaven who had doubts than a person in heaven who doubted, but lied and said he believed?
Right.
There's this whole thing called Pascal's wager, where he says, if there's even the slightest burden of, or no, if there's even the slightest chance that it's true, why not live your life, you know, like a priest? And if you die and it's not real, then who cares? Because you're dead. If you're alive and it's real, then you just lived your life this certain way and became and went to heaven or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in Pascal's wager, you're lying to yourself. Someone who has true faith, true deep faith, they're not lying to themselves. That's mm-hmm. who they are, and they feel strongly about it. And that's, you know, It's. I'm going to say it. I hate saying it. It is what it is. I hate saying that term, but it is. I mean, if they have faith, that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no lying. But if someone doesn't and they lie to themselves, then they go to heaven and stand before God and say, I was just faking it.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, now I now I know. I'm sitting right in front of you.
Right.
So you just got to... And people get so upset. And I don't understand why they get upset when a person says, okay, I'll listen to what you have to say. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, that doesn't make me buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me say, okay, let's listen to what you have to say. And let's listen to what this person has to say. And I'll admit that I don't know the answer, but I'll take it in and that's part of life, isn't
right.
it?
Mm-hmm.
To take in the unknown and come up with an answer to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't lie to yourself as far as I go. I mean, you can, and I suppose there are people out there that are lying to themselves,
mm-hmm.
saying, I believe there's a diamond in my backyard because it makes me feel good.
Right.
But...
Well, I think everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, when I tell people about, you know, my experiences, I'm telling them just as a matter of, you know, not to necessarily convince, but just to say, hey, this happened to me. This is, I'm okay with it. You know, this is how I feel about it. I know that this happened. And, you know, I like to tell people about it because it made me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell people to convince them, you know.
And it's a good story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Cara, what's your story?
Yeah, what's your story? I want to hear it.
All right. So every year, Kevin's family goes to Polly's Island, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this house that they've stayed in for a long time. And it's called Tamarisk. And it's right on the ocean.
Oh, is that the name of it? You found it?
Mm-hmm. I found it. And it's right on the ocean. And the history behind it is that it's the Gray Man House.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gray Man was back from the 1800s, and he was apparently the legend goes that he was this man who was going to visit his fiancée at the mm-hmm. beach. And so he went there, and as he was going on his way, he came he took a back way to get to her house, to her beach house.
On his horse, right?
Yeah, and he had some people with him, some servants,
mm-hmm.
and he fell into some quicksand.
Mm.
And he died. So he died on his way to see his his fiance, his love, the love of his life. Mm-hmm. So he never made it to see her, obviously. So she was distraught, and she found out that he wasn't coming. He had passed away. Mm-hmm. And so she was never the same. So her parents were very worried about her, and they thought she was going crazy. Well, she went out on the pier of the house, and she saw him in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And she saw her fiance standing real close to her, and he was dressed in gray. He was the gray man, and mm-hmm. He didn't say anything. But when she got closer to him, a wave came, crashed over him, and he disappeared. And she realized that it wasn't, of course, really him, but
right.
It was just his, you know, his presence. So she went back and she told her parents, and her father said that she was definitely going crazy, going mad. So he took her immediately and her mom, and mm-hmm. they went to the doctor about an hour away. And so when they were at the doctor's office, a terrible hurricane came through and wiped out a bunch of the houses in the area and mm-hmm. left that one unscathed, and just, you know, minor problems with the house, but it was standing. Everything was fine with the house. Mm-hmm. So the legend became that if you see the gray man, he's warning you that there's a hurricane coming and you need to get out immediately mm-hmm. or within a few days, and so you won't be touched by the hurricane. And apparently that's happened. Many people on Paula's Island mm-hmm. and the surrounding areas have seen the gray man, and they've left, and they haven't had any damage done to their houses at all.
Wow.
So that's the story about it. So we, Kevin and I, have stayed in this house that's called the Gray Man's House and several times mm-hmm. going back and forth to Paula's Island. And one year we were there quite a few years ago, and it was Kevin's dad who had some weird things had happened in this house, apparently. So Kevin's dad had lost his wallet mm-hmm. and he swore that he put it down in a certain spot, and everybody scoured the house looking for the wallet, nowhere to be found. Well, the next day it was sitting right on the dining room table, like just sitting there. We had mm-hmm. looked all over for it. Everybody had just looked everywhere, and there it was, just sitting on the dining room table mm-hmm. in this gray man's house. And it was just a really weird thing. So people were, oh, it's the gray man, you know, thinking about it, it's the gray man. But it was just a weird experience. You know, we couldn't really explain it. Nobody admitted to putting it there. There wasn't anything taken out of it. Another thing that happened that was, to me, was very, very strange. So apparently the gray man appears and you only see like his gray silhouette, his shadow, and he's got like a hat on and a cloak. Mm-hmm. Well, one night I was sleeping in the room, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up, just woke up because, and I was just looking around the room, and I looked up, and on the other bed, yeah, it was the gray man laying there. And all of a sudden he rolled like a shade kind of rolls, and it rolled up and then flew across the room to the corner of the room. And it was very, very weird. And I couldn't believe what I saw, and I couldn't sleep. And so I said to Kevin, did you just see that? And he said, see what? And then I said, can you walk with me? I have to go to the bathroom, because I was all freaked out. I had to get out of there. So he walked with me and went to the bathroom, came back, slept, nothing. I mean, I didn't think about it again that night until the next day when we talked about it, Kevin, and tell me what you saw.
Well, I was awake too, but I didn't know you were awake.
Right.
I was lying, just looking around this 200-year-old house. And what it looked like to me was if a moth had flown in front of a nightlight or something. Yeah, because I saw the shadow kind of foomp.
So you across. Saw it too?
Well, I saw what appeared to be
you
some sort of...
You saw it too.
Could have been a car driving down the road. And you know how the light travels across the room? What?
You saw it too. Well, you told me you saw it too.
No, I said I saw.
Freaked out, and we told your whole family about it. It was very, very creepy.
Right.
It was super creepy. And So then everybody was like, oh, there's a gray man. It's haunting our house, you know. So then on our last day of the trip, everybody was packed up and all ready to go. And so we all ended up going outside at the same time to say goodbye and to hug. Mm-hmm. And then somebody, I don't even know, somebody realized that we didn't have the keys to return to.
Everyone, we were just saying goodbye to Kelly, my sister, and everyone had left. We went out the front door, which was a screen door with, you know those little latches? It's got like an eye hole, mm-hmm. and you put that on one part and the latch comes over and it hooks on the other part. One of those was on there. Can I interrupt? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we walk down the stairs. We bring out everyone's luggage because there was kids and you know how you travel with 15,000 pounds of stuff. And we carried everything out. We put the kids and my sister in the car and then they left. And then we all headed back towards the house and we go up and the door's locked. And we're like, what the heck? And we're looking and it was latched from the inside. There's no one in the house. Mm-hmm. Everyone is out of the house and it's latched from the inside. So we had to walk around through the dunes to the front of the house into the beachside to get up the boardwalk to come back in and then unlatch it. Yes, was that weird? Did it latch at all the week we were there? No. When we all finally left, it latches locked. But you also have to say, is it possible that the door slammed and the lock came up and came back down?
And you tried for that, a long time that, after that, and it hook, wouldn't latch.
That the hook landed in the eye just... I mean, sure. Come on now. Do you know how many times that door would have had to have slammed?
Weird things happen.
Yeah, no.
But you did try it a ton of times afterwards. Mm-hmm. You tried slamming it.
Yeah, because I used to not be a skeptic.
Tiny
I used
little, to be a tiny this. Little hole for the yeah. for the latch. It was
Let me
weird.
Tell you, I used to not be a skeptic. So yes, that's why at the time I was like, oh, I totally saw the shadow. But looking back in hindsight, it could have been a
big
moth.
Liar.
Uh-huh. What do you mean?
So then we got inside and we were looking for the keys. The keys were nowhere. They were in the same spot the whole week in like this bowl on a desk. And they weren't anywhere to be found. We looked under everything, behind everything, you know, two or three times. Everybody was looking everywhere. Then finally, it was me. I said, I'm just going to look one more time before everybody goes and then we get billed to change the locks. I'm just going to look one more time under the bed. And I looked under our beds in our bedroom. There were two beds, like you said, and they were in under the bed in the middle of the bed, but on the floor under the bed all the way, like in the middle.
Was it hard to put them there or did you?
I didn't put them
see
there.
See that?
Uh-huh. You see what I have to deal with.
Was that the same bed that he rolled off of?
No.
It was the one you guys were sleeping on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the opposite one.
The only thing that I saw is...
So how did they get there?
Yeah.
Well, then let's talk about it. Let's talk about when things get moved and stuff. That means if someone was looking in that room at the time, and I'm doing air fingers quotes, the gray man was moving it, would we have seen the keys float across the room?
But nobody was in there, so
nobody was
knows.
In there.
Or did they dematerialize and rematerialize?
But I had looked under that bed. I had looked in that room.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely strange, yeah.
It was very weird. So weird things happen and in that house.
And remember, I'm not denying that strange things happen. I'm just saying that I don't know what caused it. I don't say keys under the bed, therefore gray man. Mm-hmm. Saying keys under the bed. We also had a lot of toddlers in the house that week.
I had one toddler, Anna. But they weren't under the bed.
The one thing that was a little creepy is when our room abutted a grand dining room. These houses are really cool. If you ever have a chance to go to Polly's Island, South Carolina, you do. I think it's Latchicott was the company.
Yeah.
Latchicott Realty. Get an old house. Mm-hmm. It's just it's so much better. Like if you're used to going to the beach and getting, you know, how houses have like pools and elevators and you like living it up.
Yeah.
That's one thing you can do. Or you go to these old places and the walls are all like exposed beams and they're just old, beautiful houses. Mm-hmm. Our room abutted what used to be a porch, it looked like, and then had been turned into this really large dining room. And the door that led to it, there was a door from our room that led directly to it, or you could go out the hallway and go to it. It was one of those old-fashioned, you know, the little latches? It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. Yeah. The door, there's no doorknob. There's like a latch that goes down. Yeah, and then you have a lever that you pull up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't want kids or people walking into our bedroom, you know, because they're eating breakfast and I might be sleeping and I don't want to be woken up. So we moved, or I moved, it was like a buffet table. I kind of pushed that in front of the door. And so, and I can't remember how this happened. Was it that you were out in the hallway and I was in the room? Or not in the room, I was in the living room, or was it vice versa? I don't remember. But from what I remember this is what I remember. I remember being in that room, in the dining room, and hearing and seeing someone on the other side of the door lifting it and like trying to get out. I was like, there's a buffet in front of it, and they were pushing, and I was like, there's a buffet in front of it. And then you came walking in, and I was like, don't you remember we put that there? And you're like, no. And then I walked around, there was no one in the room, and I was like, all right.
Oh, that's weird.
But could have been that there was like 12 people in that house. How do I know someone tried to go and then they went out the back door? Because there was like three entrances to that room, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it's strange. These things are strange.
It was the gray man. And then there was a hurricane after that week.
Katrina.
No, Dean.
Katrina. Yeah, I think it would. You keep giving me these looks.
Because it was Dean.
Do you know what I'm worried about when this comes off? When we turn off this podcast, this is what I'm gonna say in my head.
You're gonna get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, that's not it. Oh. That's Manny. Oh. I was gonna do this one. This one.
Uh-oh, Dada.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Dada.
Yeah. That's what goes on in my brain whenever I realize
you're in trouble.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. I go, I say something, and then I hear this.
Uh-oh, Dada.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I haven't used that one in a while.
You got the scary looks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
You're getting scary looks.
So those are your... Oh, yeah. That's the Polly's Island story. Did you have any others?
I don't think so. Do you have my list?
Yeah, we were getting feedback from your phone, so I moved it. We should just do a podcast from now on, just me and you. We'll talk politics.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea.
We have good we agree with our politics. That's one thing we do agree on.
It's true. Nope, that's all. That's all I have.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, I have a ghost story.
A real one?
No,
it was a long time ago. I was driving in my Cadillac. Mm-hmm. I was on a date with Susie Q.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to go and park at Lover's Point and Neck.
And the man with the axe.
We heard scraping on the door.
Story before.
Picture it. Bow, 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 but dang. No, uh-huh. I have no stories. Mm-hmm. I am watching, though. Have you watched American Horror Story?
Oh, my God. We have like 15 minutes left of the second episode.
Oh, I haven't watched the hotel one yet.
Oh, well, first of all of those are really good. I was terrified to watch them to begin with because Moses used to watch them when I'd be almost asleep. He'd watch them in the bedroom. I'd be almost asleep and I would hear this, like, you know, when you're not quite awake, but you're not quite asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared the living daylights out of me. The first series.
The one with the house and all the ghosts.
God. And so I refused to watch them, and Moses is like, honey, it's so good. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. And I finally decided to start watching them, and they're so good. But this new one is like...
They're just so funky. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the directing is weird. There's this weird artistic side to it.
Did you watch the last one?
Oh, I'm on that one now.
The Freak Show?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
That one, isn't that bizarre? Yeah.
And then the one
before the clown?
That, yes.
Isn't that clown terrifying? Yeah. They made up the most terrifying psycho killer clown you could possibly make on it. It's just, it's good. But I think I've made it through one episode, so don't say anything.
I won't. That's when, you know, it's almost scary to think of the people that come up with these things, these writers. It's like, I wouldn't want to be that person's spouse or that person's...
Because I tell Kara about it, because I know you're not going to watch it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was watching Coven, the witch one, and jokingly she comes in the room and I'm like, oh yeah, see her, how she's got one brown eye, one blue eye? Well, what happened was someone threw acid in her face, and then when she went blind, the witch who was previously burned and then brought back to life from the witch who brought her back to life, who could bring people back to life, froze these other two witches and plucked their eyes out of their skulls and put it in her so she could see. And it's so twisted. You try to explain really the things and you're like, who comes up? But that was good. I didn't like the first two or three episodes. I didn't think I'd get into Coven, but then it got pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
Is there a current season?
Yeah, it's called Hotel. It's the one with Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga's in it.
Oh,
all I saw was it was like this, someone walking in like a wedding dress, and these people, these like demon children sitting on the tail of the dress playing instruments. It just looked creepy.
Yeah. First of all, I can't believe what they get away with on TV these days. Because
is it HBO? Like,
oh, no.
No, but it's still cable, so they can... Yeah, there's really no FCC rules. Gosh. They can do whatever they want, but they want to keep their advertisers, so...
Mm-hmm. It's pretty racy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you see pretty butts racy. And stuff.
You at see least butts and just the... Even though it doesn't show... You know what's going on. I mean, you know,
some
of it's like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, the whole, like, the freak show, the whole, the episode I saw is when they took the candy striper and they gave her opium.
And they were having the orgies. Yeah. Pardon, you know, the podcast, but yes.
No, it's fine.
I mean, that was just, like, shocking.
Yeah. It's a great show, though. I mean, it's the acting is so good.
It really is.
Who's that? Who's the name? Angela Lang? Is that the lady who's in it?
Yeah. There are a
Jessica
lot of famous
Lang.
People.
Jessica Lang.
Yeah. Okay. There are a lot of famous people on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember her name. What's the name of the lady?
From Friday Night Lights.
Which one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was on it. Yeah. Right. Brittany something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her name's... She's also from that country song.
Nashville.
Country show. Nashville.
Nashville.
Brittany... Not Brittany Murphy. It's... Bridget Moynihan.
No,
Bobby Brown. It starts with a B. I'm telling you, it is. Here, I'll do it. I'm going to conjure
up. Use your psychic ability. Pull it out of the air.
Connie Britton.
Connie Britton. See, I knew there was a Britton in there.
Mm-hmm.
Connie Britton. She's from Brookline.
Oh, really?
Yep, same city. Or it's technically part of... Well, it's its own city, but it... If you were there, you wouldn't know you were there instead of Boston. It's all kind of... Mm-hmm. That's where my mom's from.
And Lady Gaga and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's the name of that lady? Bizarre. The big fat old lady. She's not that old. She's probably in her 60s.
Kathy Bates.
She's been in them.
Too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She was the bearded lady in the freak show.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this weird way of talking. I can't quite figure out where she's supposed to be from.
It's kind of almost like North Dakotan.
Yeah. She's got a beard. That's a good show.
That's a really good series to get into if you can handle it.
Yeah.
Especially around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that first one with Connie Britton and who's the guy?
He's been in everything, too.
Yeah. But he's always like the supporting actor in everything. And the guy from Heroes, and he plays Spock on the new Star Trek. That guy's in it.
Oh,
and they're ghosts.
From Heroes.
Yeah. And they all get to leave. Like, there's all these ghosts in the house. One of the ghosts has sex with Connie Britton, and then she has a ghost baby or something. Do you remember?
Oh,
he had this leather outfit. Season? Oh, just so weird.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right.
Well, anything else you guys would like to talk about prior to Halloween? I'll open up the window again so we can see the...
Ooh.
We should take a picture of that. I'll put it on the website so they see how frightening... Mm-hmm.
Well, they're probably wondering what in the world we're doing sitting over here on microphone with earphones on.
The podcast table with the mics are right in front of the window. But, I mean, mm-hmm. people know I do a podcast, so if they see a bunch of people sitting around there, they know we're either doing a seance or talking on a mic. Ooh. But
they were just in their garage.
Yes, they were.
And what if they're listeners? They're going to think you're a peeping Tom.
We're peeping.
I'm not.
Well,
Tara.
Okay, you keep opening up the blinds and closing them. So, you know, if they're paying attention,
I'm
they'll probably wonder what's going on.
All right. Well, thank you, Bobby, for coming over. And Cara, I think we should have a podcast where we just husband and wife. And just
kind of like He Said, She Said. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that movie?
Mm-mm.
Yes, that was a good one.
Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth.
Oh, and he dies and he comes back and they make clay.
No, that's Ghost.
That's Ghost. Oh.
No, He Said, She Said. Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth.
Hasselhoff.
No.
Montgomery.
It might be Montgomery.
I don't even know. Is that a person? I honestly just said the last name.
He makes things up.
Yeah. No, anyway, look it up.
Okay.
Google.
All right.
Google. He Said, She Said. It's a good one. It's a good old 90s flick.
Oh, I love those.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that said, here's my outro music.
Ooh.
Like us on Facebook.com/WWI Podcast.
and at WWI Podcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.